20th chapter of the book of John. John chapter 14 and verse number 6. Our Lord says here that He is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus saith unto him, in answer to Thomas's question, Thomas said, "We know not whither thou goest, how can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the life." Let's talk about that for a few minutes here this evening. I am the life. Well, our Lord could say that He was the life, I think for this reason, because life essentially dwells in Him. All creatures receive life from their Creator. As a matter of fact, there's not an angel in heaven that's an independent being. Not one. Every angel that's in heaven, every celestial being, had his life given to him from another. And even the life that he had given to him from another is sustained by another. So there's no creature in heaven, or there's no creature on the face of the earth that can consider themselves independent beings as far as life is concerned. The Scriptures say that He made us, and we not ourselves. We are His people. We are the sheep of His pasture. He made us. As a matter of fact, our Lord could say this, "I am the life," because there is but one being that is independent, and that is the true and the living God. And this true and living God, as revealed in the Scriptures, certainly the God of the Old Testament, the I Am of the Old Testament, is also the I Am of the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is that true and living God. And to know Him is eternal life. In John 17 there, if you remember those first two or three verses. So He is that one independent being, God Himself, the true and living God. He receives life from nobody else, and He Himself possesses this life, essentially, in Himself. Our Lord Jesus Christ could say, "I am the life." Moses, you remember in the Old Testament there, Moses asked Him, he said, "What name should I communicate to the children of Israel?" God had told Moses to go back and deliver the children of Israel from the hands of Pharaoh. And he said, "Well, who will I say sent me? What's your name? What name will I give them?" And essentially, God said, "This is the name by which I shall be known. I am. Tell them I am have sent me unto you." Isn't that what He said? "Tell them this is the name that I'll be known by. I am. I am. I am declares the character of His being. It declares His self-existence." And He says, "You go back to the children of Israel. You want a name? I'll give you that name. I'll be known as I Am. I Am. Tell them the great I Am has sent you unto them. Well, this I Am is the very same name that our Lord Jesus Christ appropriated unto Himself here. See that in that sixth verse? In that 1, 2, 3, 4, about the fifth word there. I Am. Jesus saith unto him, he answered, he said, I'm going to go away. I'm going away. You don't be upset because I'm going away. My Father has many mansions in His house and so forth, and I'm going to go prepare a place for you. And where I am, there you'll ultimately be. And Thomas said, well, we know not whether thou goest. We don't know where you go. That was a question about like I'd ask. We don't know where you go. He told them time and time again, I come from the Father. I'm heavenly. You're earthly. I'm heavenly. I'm sent from above. And Thomas said, we don't know where you go. And we don't even know the way. And Jesus said, I am. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He appropriates this very same name of the Old Testament to Himself. So it's safe to us not to assume but to believe here tonight that God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ are one, yet they're two. The Lord Jesus, in other words, is the embodiment of God Almighty Himself. He is God. I know we can't lay hold of that and kind of lay it out there that we can see it in all of its details in order that this poor mind and heart of ours can rationalize it and so that we can understand it. I know that. No man can understand that God is one and yet God is three. God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. But yet the Lord Jesus Christ was God, manifest in the flesh. He said, I am. That's one reason why He could say, I am the life. I am the life. Every other being on the top side of God's green earth, in the heavens and under the earth, in the seas, are dependent upon their existence from that independent being, God Himself. Jesus Christ said, I am the life. No life apart from me. Well, I think that John was very particular, and Bob, I didn't ask him to read this, but he read it anyhow. In the first chapter of the book of John, them first four verses, John was very particular here in explaining this, that the Lord Jesus Christ was one with the Father. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now listen to this. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. Well, the life was in Him. That is, in Him essentially and only. Now listen, over here in John chapter 8, I believe. Well, I'll not turn to it, but just call it to your attention. You'll remember the scriptures. In the 8th chapter here of John, our Lord said, before Abraham was, I am. Use that same expression. Before Abraham was, I am. God. He said to Martha there, He said, I am. In regard to the resurrection, I am the resurrection and the life. Another place he said, if you believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins. Now that sounds like a very narrow and strict statement, doesn't it? If you don't believe that I am, that doesn't mean if you don't believe that I'm here in the flesh and that I'm Jesus and I'm a miracle worker, and I'm literally, really, actually here. You'll die in your sins. He means if you do not believe that I am the I Am of the Old Testament. I am God, and besides me there's none other. He said, if you don't believe that I am, you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to die in your sins. I know that people, for the most part in this world, and I'll tell you eventually why they act the way they do, but I know for the most part the majority of the folks living right now, they don't believe that. Could care less. Could care less. Even religious people, they could care less about this. But he said, unless you believe that I am, you'll die in your sins. And if you die in your sins, then you'll experience the wrath of God on the account of sin. And if you die in your sins, it'll be judgment for you. If you die in your sins, it'll be judgment and it'll be hell for you. If you die in your sins, you'll go to hell and be punished for your sins on the account of your sins forever and forever and forever. And people don't care. People don't care. Poor souls, if you believe not that I am, you'll die in your sins. What I'm saying is that the Lord Jesus Christ is the great I Am of the Old Testament. He's life. He could say, I am the life, because He is the life. The only life. Life. Natural life. Spiritual life. Existence, we call it. That's what He is. He is existence. Well, He is the life. Secondly, He is the life, and He gives and sustains life to all of His creatures. He gives it and sustains it. Now, John tells us, and I read to you, and Bob read to you there in that first chapter, John tells us that by Him, by the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I am the life. Now, by Him were all things created. Now, whatever this earth possesses, and whatever has life, that life was given to it by the Lord Jesus Christ. You see that? The sun, which comes up every morning in the east, and gladdens our day. The moon, which appears somewhere every night. And the stars that sprinkle the sky somewhere every night that can be seen by the eyes of man. All of the animals that roam the fields and the forest. All the fishes in the sea. All of these were created by God. They owe their natural existence, their instincts, and every movement to the hand of God Himself, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I am the life. You see, He gives and sustains life of all of His created creatures. Everything that's created, everything that has existence, God give them that existence. We live and breathe and move and have our being here tonight in God Himself. My Lord Jesus Christ made them all. Now, if you doubt this, let me make good on it. If you turn with me to the book of Colossians, in the first chapter, let me read some verses to you. If you any doubt whatsoever about what I said about Him so far, that is, that He sustains life of all created life and existence, whatever things that are created, whatever things this earth possesses, whatever has life, that life was given by the Lord Jesus. Got Colossians chapter 1, verse 15-14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Talking about the Lord Jesus. Who's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Verse 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven. That includes that takes care of the angels and every celestial being, doesn't it? And that are in the earth. That takes care of me and you and all the animals and the fish and the sea and the moon and the star. It takes care of everything, doesn't it? Right there. Visible and invisible. Things that you can see and things that you can't see. God made them. The Lord Jesus Christ made them. Whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And it says he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things he might have the preeminence, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness, completeness dwell. Well, now that natural life which he gave to his creatures, he sustains. Just one word from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he'd do away with everything that breathes forever. He'd annihilate everything. It'd be a great catastrophe. That wouldn't be the word. I don't know what you... Annihilation, I guess, would be the proper expression. If he would just utter one word, he could destroy all created life in heaven and in earth and start all over again if it pleased him. The natural life or existence, as we call it, which he gave to the creatures of this earth, he sustains that same. He gave that life, he sustains that life. Yes, he's the life, brethren, and we're indebted to God Almighty this evening in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, even this very night here at 7:30 for our health. Where'd your health come from? Well, listen, we're indebted to him for our health. For any portion of it in which we enjoy tonight, we're indebted to God for it. He rules the world. And because he rules the world, we live. See, he sustains us. He sustains us. If someone dies, it's because God took his life. If a baby's born, it's because God gave him life. If the baby's born, it's because God gave him life. And if that baby lives to be 5 years old, it's because God sustained him till he's five. If that baby lives to 25, 55, if that baby lives to be 96 years old, it's because the God who gave that baby life sustained that baby all through this life until he's 96 years old. And whatever is involved by way of health from the cradle to the grave, God sustains us in it. Whether we can, if we can enjoy, if we're so decrepit and so helpless and hopeless that we only got one eye that we can see out of, thank God for the one eye. You only got one leg to walk on, thank God for the one leg. If you haven't got any legs to walk on, thank God that you can breathe. If you're just a basket case and have to be carried around, thank God that someone's there to carry you around, because God sustains you, see? God sustains you. No need to quarrel with God or quit. You see why he's able to say, Thomas said, we don't know where you're going. We don't know the way. He said, I am the way, the truth. I am the life. I am the life. Alright, fourthly, well, I guess since I said all that, surely the Lord Jesus Christ deserves a song from our lips, doesn't he? Song of praise. Well, thirdly, he originates and supports our spiritual life. Well, we know that there was a time when we was without spiritual life. There was a time when we were like the majority of the world's population. We were dead spiritually. We're alive physically. We had motions and desires and appetites, but none of them were for God. They were all for this terrible nature within the framework of this soul. We had no spiritual life. Our hearts did not pant after God. We did not seek God. We did not understand God, and we did not want to understand God. We were just satisfied in what we were doing. We were satisfied in our lifestyle. We were completely satisfied to be left alone and not to be bothered with any of this Bible business or Jesus business or hell business or heaven business. We would have been satisfied if God the Holy Spirit would have left us be and would not have crossed our path and created an interest. We would not have been mad. We would have been pleasantly thankful that we were not involved. But God, in His mercy, in His kindness, in His grace, crossed our path. And once He crossed our path, once the Lord Jesus Christ came to us, brother, He breathed into our nostrils the breath of life, and our hearts began to beat, and the blood began to pursue the course of this through the course of the veins of our body, and we began to live. When Jesus breathed into us. Well, you see, our Lord Jesus Christ originates. Life comes from Him, and He supports our spiritual life. You know, the Scripture says that the world lieth in the wicked one, or that is, under the power, the spell, under the captivity of the wicked one, the devil, the world. We're taken captive by his will at his pleasure. Well, in other words, this world tonight, this world right now, here tonight, is a vast cemetery. It's a vast graveyard. Not of bodies, not of physical bodies, but of souls, dead souls, loathsome, decaying, putrefying, corrupt, moral, dead souls. This is a graveyard. What it is. This whole world's a graveyard of dead people. Dead people. The whole world lies in the realm and the captivity of the wicked one. And the whole world is dead towards God and hates God. And the only way this thing can continue on is that God rules the world. If He didn't rule the world, it'd blow up of all the rebellion and corruption that's in us and in sin and in human nature. Couldn't stand it. But God rules the world. God rules the world. And God sustains and withdraws and keeps from and keeps this thing on the right keel and that His purpose might be fulfilled. But here you can see when our Lord Jesus Christ said, I'm the light, He's standing looking out, looking over this vast cemetery of dead souls. And He's saying, I am the life. And brother and sister tonight, if any man ever has life, it'll be because the blood-drenched hand of the Lord Jesus Christ was extended to him. He's got life, and you can't get life from nobody else. And that's what every man needs. Every man in the world, he needs life. He needs a life Godward. He got this life, but that won't get it. He'll die and go to hell if that's all he's got in this life. Got to have more than that. Got to have spiritual life. Spiritual life is originated in the hands of I am the life. That's where it's at. I am the life. Parents can talk to their children and do all these things and try to give life to their children, to their friends and to their kinsmen. But it's all vain. They can't do it. Preachers might try to arouse dead sinners, to arouse them from their lethargy of sleep and deadness, but to no avail. It's vain. They must go back to their studies and read where it says, "Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" I am, you see, the life. I am the life. No life apart from Him, you see. Nothing can give life except Him. No, sir. Who hath believed our report? Well, listen to what he says. Now I'll quit and go over here this evening. Jesus saith unto him, "I'm the way. I'm the way to God. I'm the reconciler. I'm the truth of God. I am the life." And no man, don't make any difference who he is, whether he's me or you or well, I heard someone say here, read in the article or in the paper the day, there's a question in the paper. I think the procedure is to take the newsworthy items of the paper of the week and then ask 4 or 5 questions at the end of the week in regard to the newsworthy articles that the paper contained. And one of them, the question was, there's a boy, about some boy in the area here, and said, called out his name, I don't remember it now, but said, who was the boy, or who was the person that this boy met, who is probably living nearer to God than any human on earth? And I thought, well, who in the world? Is that the Pope? Is that he talking about the Pope? No, he's talking about Mother Teresa. I read questions down in the corner. It was Mother Teresa. That's who it was. Well, I don't know about all that. But I know that Mother Teresa can't give any life. And I know that she hadn't got enough influence to bring any dead sinner to God. I know that. And I know the Pope hadn't got enough influence to bring any dead sinner to God. As a matter of fact, the Pope and Mother Teresa together can't help themselves, much less anybody else. Our Lord said, I am, independent of all beings. I am. I have life. I am life. Essentially, that life is in me. And everything that draws a breath, I give it to them. And if it lives to be 100 years old, I sustain them. I kill, I wound, I make alive, I have life. No man in this great cemetery of dead souls will ever be aroused except I arouse them. Now that's hard, but that's the truth under God. That's what He's saying. He said, in this cemetery of dead, corrupt, decapitated souls, none of them will ever be aroused or quickened or have life unless I do it. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that doesn't mean that he's got to come up. It means that he'll not come unless I come and get him. That's what he means. It means that every man, you and me, prior to regeneration, prior to conversion, every one of us was so far off from God. I don't know how far off from God we were, but we were far off. We might have been as close as Pat McGinnis is to me this evening, but yet been 10,000 miles away from God by way of distance. As far as the moon is from the earth, as far as the heavens is where I'm at. That's how far we were from God. We weren't on the threshold. We was far off from God. We were so far off from God that we would never come back by ourselves. We was lost completely, wandering aimlessly into this wild wasteland of sin here and delighting in our wandering and fulfilling of the appetites of our lust. We were delighting in it, in God, came where we was. And if he didn't come where we was, Bob, and bring us back, we'd still be there. That's what it means. I have life. I have life. What we, brethren, we need to pity poor souls. They're not interested in what we're interested in. We're interested in the Lord Jesus, because He gives us life. I don't know what it's going to be like, but it's going to be what we got. We got the life now, but I'm taught we got the quantity of it now and the quality of it. But there's an abundance of it. And we've only tasted it. We've only drank of the river, of the cool, clear water. We just got a taste of it. And whatever it's going to be, it's going to beat this. It's going to beat this. The apostle said, boy, it's so great and so grand and so glorious. He said, and whatever it's going to be, it's going to beat this. It's going to beat this. The apostle said, boy, it's so great and so grand and so glorious. He said, boy, he said, my desire is to depart. He'd seen some things up there, you know, and he'd been there, and he came back, and he said, well, I've been there. He said, I knew a man 12 years ago, in the body or out of the body. He said, I don't know. He said, boy, he said, I was up there. Something going on, I seen some things. He said, it's unlawful for me to even talk about him right now. One time he just bursted out in a victorious triumph, and it just a burst of praise had come forth from his lips, and he said, oh, he said, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And he went on and he said, I desire, he said, to depart. I desire to make my exodus and to be with Christ. I desire it. We need to pity people who don't have that desire. Pity them. Pity them. God help them. Only God can help them. Maybe it'll please God to answer our prayers. Maybe we could join together, you and I, and just join together and pray, oh Lord, for this fellow and that fellow, for this child and that child, for this mother and this father, grandmother and uncle and aunt. Oh Father, God in heaven, send Thy Holy Spirit to bear Your arm. And come where they are and do something for their hearts. Lord, change them. We can't change them. Lord, You change them. Will You change them? And just keep on. And maybe God will do something for us. Maybe we can see the hand of God. I know I can't change anybody. The only change I can make in anybody's life is for the worse, not for the better. Unless God does it, it'll not be done. Would you join with me? And asking God to come where we are and visit us one more time. We welcome His fellowship. We welcome His presence. Father,